All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, we continue in our study in the book of Philippians. We won't be there much this week, but we're continuing off the thought of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so we looked at that verse several weeks ago before we entered into this little series within a series on meditation. And the word meditate simply means to think. And so as we're turning to Psalms 119 this morning, we'll do a little bit of review. So he encourages them to think on things that are true, honest, just, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Think on these things. These are the things that you should dwell upon in your life as a believer, are things that are conditioned to draw your mind to God. Meditation, by definition, is the close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation. Meditation also means to ponder. And the word ponder means to weigh in the mind, to consider and compare the circumstances or consequences of an event, or the importance or the reason for or against a decision. So in essence, meditation is the internal reflection on a thought, a topic, or a person. And we looked 2 weeks ago at the need to meditate. Last week, we looked at the benefits of meditating. What are the benefits of coming to God and meditating upon the things of God? It helps us to observe and then to do the law, to do the word. Meditation also gets us a chance to get away from the things of this life, to get secluded from those things. It also helps to reflect on the goodness of God. It also aids us in spiritual growth, not only that we can grow spiritually, but that also others, through our spiritual growth, may be helped and edified as well. Then also it helps us to, meditation is a source of joy. Meditation can bring joy into our life, and how many people are searching for joy in this life. Meditation provides a time of rest, not only a time of rest for ourselves, but also a rest for our mind. A time that we can, our mind and our heart can be refreshed and replenished from the constant and just overbearing access to information, media, all those things can just keep our mind racing. Meditation also allows time to focus again on the goodness of God, the works of God. It's that meditation will stoke the fire of your soul. The Bible talks while I was musing, my fire burned within me. And so meditation can do that. And meditation also helps us to be still. And so meditation is vitally important. And this week, we'll finish out this again, series within a series, by looking at the types of meditation. And in our application, we'll look, how do we meditate? Because if we know we need to meditate, we learned that the first week and the importance of it. Last week, we looked at the benefits of it. So if we're going to use this, we're going to apply it to our lives, we need to know how to meditate. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful this morning for the breath of life, that we have the opportunity to gather together, to be able to look into your word and to speak on this matter. It's such a vital, vital part of our life that often gets overlooked. And through this, we hope that in our lives will be sparked within us a great desire to take time to think on the scriptures, to think on your wonderful works, and how you daily load us down with benefits, whatever it may be, and however it may be, that in our lives we would be strengthened in the inner man through meditation and thinking on the things of you in our lives, that you might get the honor and glory from it. And we'll give you the praise for all these things. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Look at here at Psalms 119, and look at verse 97. Psalms 119:97. The Bible says, "Oh how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Throughout the day, our minds should be conditioned to enter into times of meditation. So when we look at the types of meditation that there are in the scriptures, we see a continuous meditation. Notice there's no specific period of the day. It says all the day. So throughout the day, through at different times, we should enter into this a time of meditation. Times when you're dealing with the things of life one moment, then the next moment you are meditating or thinking on a verse, a passage, or maybe just Christ in general. Maybe you're waiting in line and you find yourself thinking about the long-suffering nature of God, thinking about creation or Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. And we've looked several times over the past week at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Again, not giving a specific time, like 8 a.m., 9 a.m., something like that, but more of a, listen, you should be in a spirit where any moment of the day, you could enter into a time of meditating on the Word of God. And again, Psalms 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." This is a general call to meditate. Again, not a specific time, but a spirit of any moment, at any time, I can enter into that place. And I liken this to the same admonition that is given to the believers in Thessalonica. If you look up here, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." And again, I remember early in my Christian life thinking, well, if I got to pray without ceasing, if I never stop praying, how am I going to get anything done? And the Lord was able to teach me through meditating on the scriptures that, hey, it's that any moment at any time you could fall into praying for somebody. Again, I'm a visual person. Like I've told you before, I use things, I'll see things and it remind me of people, and I'll pray for those people that are associated with whatever it is that I see. And so it's that spirit of meditation. It's that time that will, in any moment, you can just break out into prayer for praying for somebody or praying for a need. The same type of thing, day and night without ceasing, have the same connotation. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. God wants our minds and our hearts to be centered on Him to the point where at any moment we get into a time of prayer or meditation, to think on the things of God, to be encouraged by the things of God, no matter what it may be, but we would have that ability. And we'll see in this passage another admonishment for continuous meditation on the Lord. Look here at Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16. "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Look at verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth the knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Continuous meditation on the Word will help us to be strengthened not only in the inner man, but it'll also help us to know and comprehend the love of God. You can read the scriptures, but until you take time to meditate, to think on the love of God, you will never fully, truly know and understand Him that well. When you begin to think about how God, the God of heaven, would look upon us, a feeble people, a people that are not deserving of any type of love or mercy or grace, and you begin to think on that and dwell upon that, it begins to grow within you a greater love for God because you see those things. There's no doubt in our lives, we sing the song a lot of times, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But what happens is if we don't think about that love that He had for us, if we don't think about the depth of what He saved us from and what He was willing to in love, set aside our sinful nature, if we don't meditate upon that, the amazingness of that grace will lose its luster. And so we always want to be in that place where we're thinking about these things. And so again, He says here that in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It's meditation is what allows us to fully come to some semblance of understanding of the magnitude of the love of God, the magnitude of the long-suffering nature of God, His holiness, His righteousness, His wanting to, in our lives, to give us what's best. if we're not careful, if we don't meditate on the scriptures at times, if we don't think on the things of God, we will come to a place when the troubles and trials or tribulations of this life come, we'll begin to question God. But if we're meditating on him, if we're in that spirit that we just go at any time into those things, we will come into a place that we will begin to comprehend the love of God. We looked last week at how meditation can help you to know the word of God, which helps the believers obey the word of God. Look up here at Psalms 49:3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Spontaneous meditation or continuous meditation will help us to focus our minds on the things of God throughout the day. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So God commands us to focus our thoughts on him during the day. Listen, day and night, I want you to be thinking. I want you to be meditating on me. And this continuous meditation, this meditation that comes up whenever and whatever part of the day, emphasizes the great need for meditation to be active in our lives. In Philippians, in our text passage, in the passage we're studying, he says, think on these things. He gave us a specific list of things to think on. And that can help you as you begin to want to meditate in your life. You could just take those eight things and you could just think on them. What sort of things are true? You could take some time just to think on what's true. We live in a world where there's a lot of things that aren't true. There's a lot of unstableness in our world. But there's one thing that we have that's true and solid. It's God. It's God's word. It gives us the truth. But look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. God wants every one of our thoughts to be brought into the captivity of Christ, be brought into alignment with God. Go over to Genesis chapter 24. But to begin to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ will require us periods or moments of meditation upon God's word, upon him, and upon his works throughout the day. So spontaneous meditation, continuous meditation is vitally, vitally important in our lives. But not only that, where it's just kind of here and there, but we also have to have scheduled meditation. There's also needs to be times where we have specifically set aside to take time to meditate on the Word of God. As much as we need to take time to read the Word of God, as much as time we need to take time to pray, we need to have a time to do that. Look here at Genesis 24, 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw and behold, the camels were coming. So Isaac had a specific time that he would go out during the day in the eventide to meditate on the things of God. Go to Psalms 119, 148. So Isaac got away from out in the field to get away from the hustle and bustle of life. And he went out to at a set time to meditate on the word of God. We must fix time in our day to meditate upon God's word and his works. We have to, if we don't, you know, there's that old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And in life, there's a lot of things that we want to do. There's people that we'd love to get together with. And you talk about it. You see those people, maybe you see them here and there. And every time you get around them, you say, hey, we need to get together. And you see them the next time after a couple months, we need to get together. If you don't set a time, it's not going to happen. And that's the same type of thing with meditating on the Word of God. That's why many times in our lives, it's pushed out. It's not even existent because we don't make time. We don't set a time, a scheduled time to do it. Look what he says here in Psalms 119, 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The psalmist is saying, listen, I have times where I'm not sleeping. I should be sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. Because I'm meditating on God's word. The night watches here is a reference to a period of time that was used during the early biblical times. And in this case, when you're talking about, you're thinking about the Romans' time, the time of the Romans, they had four watches of the night. And so the night watches is that time approximately from 9 to 3 a.m. where there's that time where, hey, I'm going to take this time to, instead of sleep, I'm going to meditate on God's word. Go over to Psalms chapter 63. Psalms chapter 63, both Psalm or Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1:2 talk about during the day and night not again stating a specific time, however, it lends to the fact that there should be periods of the day that are set aside to meditate on God's word. So again, continuous and scheduled meditation are vitally important to our life as believers. But we've seen so far that not only do we need to be in the spirit of continuous meditation, as well as having a scheduled time to meditate on, but now we need to look at what we should be meditating on. So, okay, I get it. I need to be in a spirit of meditation. I need to have some time in the day where I set aside to meditate. But what do I need to meditate on? Look here at Psalm chapter 63, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Meditation is a spiritual action of thinking on God. Here David is meditating on God. Now you say, well, okay, well, duh. I mean, I get that. However, if you think about our own thoughts, how often does our thoughts and the thought of God dominate a period of time in your mind even this morning? Before you came here, how much time did you spend thinking on God, on God's nature, on God's goodness, on the mercies of God, on the blessings of God? My guess is much of our thoughts were on the things of the day. Turn over to Psalms chapter 77, verse 12. Maybe he was trying to think on what you needed to do to get ready to be at church. Maybe it was on your plans that were for after church. The fact is that many of us meditate throughout the day, but our focus of our meditation is not always on God. So it's this reflecting on the things of God. So we need to condition our mind, condition our thoughts to go towards the word of God. And the main idea of the verses the psalmist is saying is we need to be focused on God. Look at Psalm 77, 12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So we are to meditate on the works of God. The works of God gives us an endless list of things to meditate on. We can never say, I just don't have anything to meditate on. His works alone are endless. Turn over to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. When we begin to think about how and what he's done, if you start with creation itself, and you start to think about the fact that he spoke the world into existence, wouldn't it be nice if we could speak things into existence like that? It's like, you know, you have your car breaking down, it's starting, you know, starting to nickel and dime you, and you could just be like, I want a new car. New car, show up. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, just easy as that. You know, no thing, just speaking into existence. But when you think about it, there was nothing and he spoke. When you begin to think about man and how he took the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of man, how he was able to take the rib from Adam and create woman. And then you begin to think about the procreation and how children are brought into this world, and you think about that and all the things that go with it. I mean, it's just you begin to sit in awe of how this was made. I always go back to when I was a kid. And I remember sitting in class and they were trying to teach us of the Big Bang Theory, you know, how the big explosion happened. And I remember asking my teacher, I said, I've never seen an explosion produce anything good. I don't understand this. And I wasn't, I thought I was probably being smart, not that I would be that kind of kid, but, you know. But I never understood that. It never made sense to me. You have to look at creation and see that there has to be a master designer. There has to be somebody that created this. But look at Job chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? So God comes to Job and he says, who are these people that are darkening your knowledge? Who are these people that are questioning the things that are going on, that are affecting your misunderstanding of who God is? Look at verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer of thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. God asked him, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Verse 5, who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Now he asked him, who laid out the dimensions of the earth? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? or who laid the cornerstone thereof. He said, hey, Job, who's holding this world up? Who's fastening this thing together? Do you know, Job? Look at verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, he's referencing in this passage the creation of the world. And now this rebuke can easily be understood as God, as a great thought process in which to meditate on the things of God. He says, listen, have you ever taken the time to think about how he formed the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, the sky, the mountains, man? Job, have you ever thought about these things? Have you ever taken time to meditate on my works, Job? Go over to chapter 39 of Job, verse 26. He is drawing Job's mind and pushing the fact of Job's mind towards the things of creation. Job, have you thought about these things? Look at verse 26. Doth the hawk fly by wisdom and stretch her wings towards the south? Think about that verse for a moment. When you think about it, the hawk, when he flies, doesn't have GPS. Doesn't have any directions on which way to go. God put in them the wisdom, not of man, but of him, to know how and where to go. Notice also how the birds stretch their wings towards the south. All you southerners will like that. But birds are smart enough to get out of this part of the country when the weather starts to turn. Nobody tells them that. There's not a bell out there that rings and says it's time to go south and all of us are just too foolish to follow. God put it within them. He says, have you ever thought about these things, Job? Verse 7, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. God in his infinite wisdom placed in the eagle the wisdom to build his nest high and out of reach. Verse 29, from thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. Job is being rebuked and realizing probably for the first time the wonderful aspect of these creatures and how God created them. He's trying to draw and focus Job's mind on the wonders of God and the wonders of his creation. Look up at Hebrews chapter, or go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. He is trying to spark within Job's mind a drawing towards the things of God. Because Job, all these things have happened in Job's life, and Job is trying to make sense of these, what seems to be terrible things that have happened in his life. And God is trying to draw Job to a place and say, look at, when you're struggling with the things of life, when you're wondering about my workings in your life, go back and think about these things that I've created. Think about how this the hawk flies in pattern that I set forth within them. How the eagle sets his nest up high away from those things that can get it. And in being up high now, he's able to see all these things below him. The prey that's out there that I'm going to provide for them. He says, think about these things, Job. If you start thinking about these things, it's kind of like when Jesus said, consider the lilies. They spin not. But God takes care of them. God waters them. He said, think about these things, Job. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look at verse 3, for consider him. Think about this. Meditate on this. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We see the call to meditate on the abundant grace of God in enduring all that came with redeeming man. But notice the consequences of not meditating at the end of verse 3. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Wearied is tired. If we're not careful, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. It's very easy for us to come to a place where we get weary with things that should be very normal for us. It's easy for us to get weary with reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying and then meditating on the Word of God. It's easy to get weary of that. He says, but be not weary, neither faint not. Faint means to be relaxed. Remember, meditation helps us to focus our thoughts on Christ, where a lack of meditation can bring someone to a place where they rarely think of God. They're rarely thinking of the things of God. Go over to Psalms 119, verse 15. These works of God we just looked at are only begin to scratch the surface of things that we can meditate on throughout the day. So what we meditate on the works of God. Next, we see that we meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God itself is what we can meditate on. We can meditate on how God works and moves in our life. He says in Psalms 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Jump down to verse 48. Psalms 119, 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. Look at verse 78. Psalms 119, 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dwelt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. The importance of meditating on God's word cannot be expressed enough. And when you think about this, in these situations of life, he's meditating on the statutes. When people are dealing perversely with you without a cause, when they're shaming you or they're mocking you, you can go to a time of meditation to help you to endure those things. So one of the best ways to understand what God is trying to teach you from his word is to meditate on the words that he's laid on your heart. When you read the word of God, you'll come upon thoughts or verses that will perplex you. You'll read passages of scripture, you'll read a verse, and you'll be like, huh? What does that mean? What is that? What was he trying to say here? And I always say it's like verses that jump out at you, right? These verses that you're reading and that one jumps out at you and it just kind of grips your heart and you're trying to figure out what it means. And meditation is a great way to find out what that is. Again, as we talked about, one of the benefits of meditation is that when we meditate on the things of God, it gives time or opportunity for the Holy Spirit now to speak to us. To speak to us what it is that God is wanting to get to us, what he wants us to understand, what he wants us to know. There are times or periods in your life where you're going to come up against things and you're not going to understand it. You're not going to know what to do. And you're going to have to sit there and be like, look, God, I have no idea what in the world I'm supposed to do here. I need you to show me. I need you to give me understanding. And then you can take time to meditate on God through the word. Maybe it's a time of the day and something comes to your mind and you start thinking about something that you read, maybe the morning or the afternoon or yesterday or a week before, maybe something, one of the verses that we go to here in the preaching, maybe it'll come back to your mind and heart and you begin to meditate on that thing. And then over time, maybe it's in moments, maybe it's in hours, maybe it's in weeks, maybe it's in years, God will show you something and you'll be reading one day and you'll be like, that's what it is. This is what he was trying to mean. This is what he meant by that. And the meditation is the way that we can unlock those things. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit that was given to us. That he said, he will teach you all things whatsoever I've commanded unto you. So it opens up, meditation opens up the Holy Spirit opportunities to speak to us on what God's word is. So he says, meditate on thy statutes. Meditate on the word of God. Meditation will help us to think on the things that will end up benefiting our lives for the better. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you think about a little over a year ago, what was dominating many believers' thoughts and times? What do you think? What was dominating their thoughts about this time a year ago? Red waves, blue waves, swing states. What are the swing states looking like? And what did it profit? A presidential election came and a presidential election went. But think about if those people would have spent time thinking about the mercy of God,
the long-suffering nature of God. How loving God is. He's not this ogre in the sky waiting for us to do something wrong so he can pounce on us. My mind always goes back to Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You ever thought about meditating on the fact that God has an end for you, that he has something great and wonderful for you? Maybe he's taking you on that journey. Maybe you're on that journey where you're struggling and things just don't seem to be going right and everything seems to be going awry and it just seems like nothing's working. And there's that time where you can meditate on the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the wonderfulness of God, and then it'll calm your heart down and it'll make you realize, look, I don't know what's going on, but I trust him. The troubles and trials of life that we had last week, a year ago, are conditioned in our hearts to believe and trust in God. So when we stand before what we call the great trial of our life at that time, we trust him. I have no clue. Man, I trust him. If he brought me through that, he can bring me through this. And it conditions our mind and heart to do that. The problem with this type of meditation is you must be in the Word of God to meditate on the Word of God. Look at Psalms, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Now we know this is given to Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy about these things. But listen, please never get to the place to where you think, well, that's for a pastor. Every once in a while, I'll deal with people that are dealing with pastoral things. And I say, let me just ask you. Tell me something that you expect of your pastor that you don't expect of yourself. There is nothing. There's nothing you should expect of a pastor. I hear people say, well, you know, that pastor, he just fell short. It's like, and you don't? Well, the pastor said he was going to do X, he didn't do X. You've never not done that? I do that all the time. text messages are horrible. If you want something from me, text messaging me is not good. Because I'll be in the middle of something, I'll see your text message, and I'll be like, okay, I'll get back to that, and I'll forget. It's just me. I just, who I am. Not that you can't text me, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say that. But if you need, like, if it's important, like, or if I don't text you back, just text me again. Say, hey, could you do this for me? Because I'm just the way that I am. I'm not a big texter because I don't like it. Because you get no emotion from it, right? That's the bad thing about social media is you can say something. You don't mean it to sound rude or hateful or, you know, unkind. But yet people take it that way. I mean, think about how bad people misinterpret what we say verbally. It's magnified when it comes to that. So he's sharing this with him, but look what he says in verse 15. Meditate on these things. He says, listen, give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. He says, listen, Timothy, focus on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. That's why if you go back and you look in Acts chapter 8, where the widows will be neglected in the daily ministration, the apostle said, look, seek ye out seven men of honest report whom we may appoint over this business. We are not going to leave the Word of God to serve tables. We are going to avail ourselves to reading and praying and studying and meditating on the Word of God, because that's what God has called us to do. He has called us to get into the Word of God, that when we teach the Word of God and we preach the Word of God, that others can be edified with it. And that's the purpose. That's why God gives a pastor to get into the Word of God, study the Word of God, so the Word of God can be brought forth in a message, and hopefully something throughout that message, a verse is given, maybe a passage is given. It doesn't even have to be the verse that I give. One of the most, you know, you need to be like a Berean. And so if I tell you to go to a passage and we're reading one verse, man, you got those little paragraph markers on there. You can run up there, kind of get the context real quick while we're turning there. And make sure that, hey, what I'm saying is accurate. What I'm saying is true. But maybe it's not always the verse that I go or the verse that I emphasize. Maybe it says, we just read about seven verses here in 1 Timothy. Maybe it's not verse 15, which I focused on. Maybe it's not verse 13 that I focused on. Maybe it's one of the other verses that God speaks to your heart. And later, he's going to bring that back to you. And he's going to be like, hey, remember this verse? And you meditate on that thing. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, focus your attention on the scriptures. Give yourself wholly to them. Make the scriptures a vital and necessary part of your day through reading, studying, praying, meditating. So now that we know how and what we to meditate on, let's apply it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 46. If we're honest with ourselves, and we think about how hard it is sometimes to find time of the day to read the Word of God, that's magnified when we come time to think about praying. It just kind of helps us understand how difficult and why meditation may not even have been a part of your life this last week, this last month. Maybe you've never even specifically taken time to meditate. I know in my life, when I stumbled upon meditation, I remember one of the first things that I was thinking was, wait a minute. If I'm to meditate day and night, how have I not heard about this? Why is it that I've heard about ad nauseum the Word of God? Now listen, I believe it's important what Bible you read. I think it's vitally important. If people take out things of the Word of God, why are they taking that out? That's important. So I believe it's important to talk about, you know, what version of the Bible you read. I believe that's important. Hey, listen, I believe it's important. And I believe the Bible teaches that you are to give and to give back to the Lord. I believe that's important. I believe that it's important of how we conduct ourselves in our daily life. I believe that's vitally important. But why is it that something that I'm to do, we'll just use giving. We don't talk a whole lot about giving here. Why is it something that I maybe do once a week, every other week, maybe once a month? If I ask you all today, how many times have you heard messages on giving? Most of you could not give me a number because it's too numerous to even count. But why is it something that we're supposed to do day and night? Not once a week, not twice a week, not once a month. But why is it something that we're supposed to do day and night? We hardly ever hear it. So if we think about that, again, think about in your mind the struggle sometimes it is to read daily, to pray daily. That's why meditation is so difficult, because it gets pushed down the list of things that we're doing, and it makes us understand why God emphasized this so much. And if we're going to see an increase in the time of meditating on God's word, we must get still, which is increasingly, day by day, year by year, more difficult for us in our life. Look at Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God says, listen, get still. Get quiet. That's why, again, Isaac went out into the field to meditate, to get away from all those things. Jesus, arising a great while before the day, departed into a solitary place and there prayed in Mark chapter 1. Because sometimes we need to get away from the things. You need to put away the media. You need to put away your phone and get to a time that you can have some peace and quiet. Listen, mothers, I joke about it, but it's so true, right? Where do you find peace as a mother? Where do you find peace in time? You know, The kids are playing, this fight, everything's going good, they're doing their thing. You leave the room for a minute. Mom. Right? You can't. So that means you're going to have to get up before the kids get up. You're going to have to take some time after the kids go to bed to find time to meditate. Guys, working. You're going to have to find time during the day when you're working, even in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, to get some time to be still. Be still and know that I am God. It's going to be hard to know God if we don't get still. Sometimes we need to relax and be still to meditate on God's word. Sometimes it has to be a quiet place. We have to give our times, our minds, time to rest from the things of this life. Go over to Psalms chapter 39. Psalms chapter 39. Again, meditation allows us to align our thoughts with God. This is done through the Spirit of God and His Word. Sometimes it's just getting our minds still while we're completing tasks of the day. Sometimes it can be that specific time of separating ourselves from the things of God. If you have time to drive, it gives you time to meditate on the things of God. But look here at Psalm chapter 39, verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, thinking, meditating, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. One of the reasons why so many people have a shallow relationship with God is due to the neglect of meditating on God and His Word. When you meditate, it brings you to a place to where you ask God questions like, help me to know mine end. God, help me to make sense of what my purpose is. The measure of my days. How many people have you heard in life? So maybe they were in an accident and everybody was taken except for them and they questioned, why not me? No measuring their days. They're not thinking about those things. God, am I using the days that you're giving me? Are I using those for your honor and glory? Am I doing the things that I should be doing? We fail to see who God is, and we fail to see who we are in relation to a holy and righteous God. Go over to Isaiah chapter 26. I always love when people say, well, you just think you're better than everybody else. It's like, see, that's where you're wrong. Because in the essence of me saying that I'm a believer in Christ, that means that I had to recognize that I wasn't good. So when people try to use that against you and they try to, they're only doing that because you're turning up the heat in their life on their own lack of knowledge of God or their own lack of wanting to believe in God. And when that turns up, you say, look, no, actually, it's the actual opposite. And that is a segue and an opportunity to give your testimony or share the gospel. That look, no, really, the essence is me coming to Christ is saying, listen, I'm not good enough. That I don't have, my works were not sufficient enough for me to put my faith and trust in, or for me to merit some form of measure from God or some grace from God. That it only was through Christ's sacrificial death and Him dying on the cross, Him shedding His blood for my sins. It was me recognizing that I'm not worthy, I'm not good, I'm not those things. And then I put my faith in Christ, but now I have a confidence in God. That He loves me and He cares for me and He wants the best for me. And so these things are opportunities for those things. So we've learned over the past weeks that meditation is not something that can be left out of our lives. It's not something that is trivial, but a very needed part of our spiritual life. Last week, we looked at the many benefits of meditating that can help and be a blessing if we devote time to meditating on the Word of God. And as we apply these truths this morning, we must first start by evaluating these areas of meditation to our lives. Especially last week, we should look at this past week and think about what dominated our thoughts. How much time did we actually spend meditating on the things of God? Was it the things of God or was it the things of this life? This is the third and final message on meditation that we're going to do. And the question is, has the first two messages increased your time that you spent in meditation? If not,
This is another opportunity to allow it to. Look what Isaiah says here in chapter 26, verse 3. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The word stay means to bear up, to rest, or to stand fast. So God says, if you keep your mind focused on him, you will live in perfect peace. Perfect peace. See, meditation will not only strengthen the inner man, but also give us the peace of God that so many people are so vitally looking for in their life. They're clamoring for it. The reason why so many people get offended so easily, because their mind's not focused on God. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When your mind is focused on the things of God, the things of this life dim. The things that you're going through doesn't mean that they're not going to affect you. But the effect on you that they have will be diminished in its negative capacity. And the reason for it is because the last part of verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Meditation will help to increase your trust in God. The more you trust in God, the more faith you have in God. The more faith you have in God, the less your emotions will be swayed by the things of this life. The less your emotions are swayed by the things of this life, the greater peace that you will have. And trust him in those things. You can look back at circumstances in your life and say, God, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And then you look back at a time later, and you look back and you see the hand of God moving you here, moving you there, moving you here, moving you here. And then you realize, I was a prime candidate for this thing because he prepared me each step of the way. And each little battle, little trial, medium trial, when you get to that large trial, hey, he brought me through all these. He'll bring me through this. It'll be fine. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That is meditation. So as we look back and we think about the things that Paul told the Philippian believers to think on, and we think about his admonishment, his encouragement, his challenge to them to direct their thoughts and attentions towards these things. Let it be an encouragement to us to direct our mind, our attention, our focus on the things of God throughout the week. So the final challenge is this: how much more time will you spend in meditating this week than you did last week? Again, don't set lofty goals for yourself. Don't set yourself up for failure. If you've not meditated at all this last week, it could be last month. Doesn't matter. Don't say, "Well, I'm going to spend 2 hours in meditation this week." So, like, I'm going to take a few minutes this week to deliberately and intentionally think on the Word of God. I'm going to take a few moments this week, a few minutes this week, to intentionally meditate on the wonders of God's creation, the wonders of God's mercy, the wonders of God's workings in the lives of people. Go all the way back to when you were a little kid. If you were like me and your parents sent you to church, maybe even just to get you out of the house for a little bit, but you were taught stories about different people in the scriptures. Maybe you think of Joseph and you start thinking about, man, how did he endure all that? The ups and downs of life. How did he, I wonder how he got through that. Maybe you think of David, and you think of David on the highs of life and all the things were going well, and you think about the sin that was in his life, and you think about, man, how did he come back from that? How did he trust God? How did he believe in God to work through those things and to work those things out in his life? And you begin to think about some of these people. Maybe you're thinking about Paul, who most people believe is the greatest New Testament Christian recorded in scriptures. How he can be so dedicated to the Lord and so dedicated to the things of God, yet strive with Barnabas over John Mark leaving and not wanting to bring him again.
Maybe you think on these things.
Has your heart been stirred to meditate on the scripture, on God's work, on God's nature? I hope that it has, and I hope that it will result in you taking time to meditate on God and His Word. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning for the Word of God, the reminder and of the great need to meditate on the things of God. Help us to come to a place in our lives where we don't allow the failures of the past to keep us from doing the needed things that are in our lives. The fact is, many times we struggle to read even a portion of the scripture in the day, which magnitudes the problem that we have of taking time to pray. And then we get to this matter, the matter of meditation, which is pushed back even farther many times. But help us to incorporate these things into our lives.